and I'm speaking revival for this region. I'm speaking blessings up on top of blessings. God's going to pour it out upon His people in the name of Jesus. Everybody unified. Everybody looking at the same goal. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, catch the vision. Amen. How many believes God wants to do something that we've never seen Him do before? It's been an awesome time of worship this morning, but I'm going to tell you, get ready. This kind of thing. Amen. I'm telling you, we're going to see things we haven't seen before. Wow. If you have your Bibles, we're going to look at several verses this morning throughout the course of this message. And I would have right now our spiritual leaders and intercessors to be praying. Amen. That God would just light on this word and it would just transform us as a body of believers. I've been talking to you for several weeks about unity. Amen. And unity is going to be tied into this message. But I just want to talk to you about some things I feel like God wants to do. Isaiah chapter 42 is going to be the first verse we're going to look at. And I'm just going to tell you, you'll have to forgive me. I hope you're not offended by this, but with some of the things I'm going to tell you this morning, I want to stay pretty close to my notes. My wife will tell you that I was up very late last night and just making sure I had everything. James is wanting every light and he's ready to go to bed. He wants the lights out he's like, Dad, how much longer are you going to be? And I said, James, I'm sorry, I'll be done in just a few. But there's some things I feel like is actually prophetic. And so I'm going to stay very, very close to my notes. Because I want you to hear what the Lord is speaking into my spirit and what I have put down on paper. Amen. Is that all right? Amen. Isaiah 42 and verse 9. Let's look at that verse. The scripture says here, behold, the former things, everybody say former things, are come to pass, and new things. Everybody say new things. And new things do I declare. Now notice this. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Ooh. In other words, new things are coming. And I'm going to tell you about them even before they spring forth. That's what the writer is saying here. Amen? We're talking about new things that we haven't seen before are getting ready to happen. But here, the key, I want you, there's one key word here I want you to see, and it's the word declare. Don't be settled with former things. We often use that scripture that Paul wrote, talking about forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the mark. Now, many times we'll use that passage in reference to maybe bad things in our life or mistakes in our life, and it does fit in that context. But we can't just hang on last year's blessing or last year's revival or last year's move of God or amen. And I love to study the revivals. You guys know I've talked to you about the great revivals and Brandon and others. We love to study those revivals. But I'm telling you, God wants to do a new thing in this day and hour. God don't want to repeat the Welsh revival. He don't want to repeat the Azusa Street revival. God don't want to repeat the Hebrides revival. He don't want to repeat the Brownsville revival or the Orlando revival. He wants a revival in the mountains of Appalachia. He wants to pour out His Spirit in a way in this area that He, oh hallelujah, that He never has before. God's saying, I've got things in store that you have never seen before. And He's just waiting to pour it out on His people. There is an evolving process of God that is always happening. Amen? Then, you got to see this. Then there are times when things spring forth. And we are in a springing forth season. What I'm talking about is there's an evolving process of God to where God's always at work. But then there are times when things spring forth. You follow what I'm saying? Things kind of speed up a little bit. Amen? And we are in a springing forth season. Somebody come into agreement. A season where things will happen quickly. I told you some of this, I don't know if I've ever done a message when I was taking my notes that I felt like I was prophesying. When I was putting down these notes. As powerful as I have before, Curtis. Things will happen quickly. Suddenlies will happen. I said suddenlies will happen. You're going to see things happen suddenly. Things that you've been praying about for a number of years are going to happen suddenly. Overnight, you're going to see change. Things in your life are going to change. Things in your finances are going to change. Things in your family are going to change. We're going to have to be ready to move. We're going to have to be ready to move with God very quickly. Amen? Jacob put up Isaiah 43 and 19. Everybody sit and say new things. Behold, here's another one. I will do a, there it is again. Everybody say new thing. Now it shall what? Spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Now before I even get started and the enemy tries to come in and say, boy, those are bold words to speak, Pastor, in this day and hour, in the time that we're living in. And I know I'm going to get ahead of myself when I say that, make this statement, but listen to me. That's when God does His best work, when man exhausts all his efforts and there's nothing else left to do but to turn to God and make Him king. He's going to show up. He's going to show up and then He's going to show off. I said He wants to show up and He wants to show off for His people. When we have a people that are totally surrendered and dedicated, say, come Lord, do what You want to do in our midst. Ooh, I will do something new. Everybody say it again, say new things. New here in this verse is the word perform or create. So He's saying, I will create something new. I'm trying just to teach you and take my time here, but I'm about to blow up, Justin. You know, God, do you think God is through creating? You know, He created the heavens and the earth. He created all this thing in 6 days, but do you think He's retired? He's not retired. He can create things. You know, He could create something right now that we've never seen before. He could say, let there be this animal appear, and you never see it. What in the world is that? No, it's not crossbreeding. It's God just spoken, and it's a brand new animal. It means to create something new. I can speak something new. You know what? You know what it means? It means I can speak a new kidney in your body and there'll be a new kidney in your body. It means I can speak a new, anything that you have need of. I can speak a new mind and you'll have a new mind. God can speak. He's the creator. Let me show you this. Oh, hallelujah. I'm about to blow up. Hey, I will create something new. It is used to indicate something new in an obsolete sense. It's never been seen or it's never been done before. Amen. It will spring forth. I will make a way in the wilderness
and rivers in the desert. God can bring water to dry places. He can bring life to dead places. He can bring life, Brandon, where there is no life. Amen. Now, wilderness here is one of the words used in Genesis, where the earth was void and without form. It means barren. It means a barren place. It means it's unable to produce life. God's saying, here's what God said, I'm coming to the barren places and I'm bringing the river and I'm going to cause them to live. I'm declaring that word this morning and I'm challenging a body of believers to come into agreement with your pastor that God is coming to barren places and he's bringing the river and he's going to cause everything that the river touches is going to live. Amen. There's going to be life spring forth. Amen. Where there was no life, he's the life giver. Woo, glory. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which you don't know. You know, I want to be nice here, but you know, that's the problem sometimes. And I think it was a problem. It was a problem for the church for years. The church thought when they reached a certain plateau, they had arrived. And I know everything there is to know. Yeah, and it breeds contempt. I mean, it's complacency. Can I just be plain with you? I want to help you this morning. You know, used to, when you got saved, in the Pentecostal movement, you know, me and Brandon were talking about that. You realize Pentecost was never meant to be a denomination. Pentecost is a movement. Amen. We've diminished it to a denomination. Well, I'm Pentecostal. Well, where's your movement? Amen. I'll tell you what, if the so-called Pentecostal church, if you will, I hate to use labels. You guys know I just don't do denominations. I don't do the denomination thing, but I'll just go ahead and say it. If the so-called Pentecostal denomination don't get involved in the movement, then the Pentecostal movement's going to move on down the road and it's going to touch somebody else. Amen. God's no respecter of person. He'll pour Pentecost out on anybody. I don't care where you are, who you are. It doesn't matter about race, color, creed, whatever your status is. He'll pour it out on you. And in fact, that's why he's going to the third world countries. Amen. And they're experiencing revival like never before because they're not concerned about their own agenda. They're just concerned about seeing God show up. Woo! Oh, help us, Lord. Hallelujah. Where am I? Amen. Call unto me and I will answer thee and show you great and mighty things which you don't know. And you know, what I was going to say was, you know, there was a time when in the so-called Pentecostal movement that you got saved and then they said, seek for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You started seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You baptized in the Holy Spirit. You got your prayer language. You spoke in tongues. You got a prayer language. And then, okay, guess what? I'm here. I'm arrived. I have reached that plateau. And, you know, and people would get up and say there's higher heights and deeper depths. But I wonder if we really, really, really believe that. I'm telling you, folks, God has so many more things. Amen. God has so much more for his church. Amen. I mean, you know, I've probably used this analogy before, but it's like going to the restaurant, a fine sit-down restaurant, and order a meal, and you order a nice steak. How many likes a steak? I heard a preacher say the other day, you know, y'all accuse us preachers of eating chicken all the time. Preachers love chicken. This preacher said that, a guy was telling me rather that he heard a preacher got up in church one time. Said, y'all accusing us of eating so much chicken. He said, if y'all pay your tithes a little more, we could eat some steak. But we all like steak, don't we? How many went to a nice sit down restaurant and you order a steak and a baked potato or whatever? You know, myself, I like, oh, here I am, food. It's been a long time. I used to talk about food all the time from the pulpit and they told me the food preacher, we starting a new network, the food preacher network or whatever. But myself, I prefer if they have it, a baked sweet potato. I like the cinnamon brown sugar and just fix it all up really nice and nice cut of steak there, you know, just real tender, cooked to perfection, you know, and maybe a salad, you know, with some house dressing or honey mustard, whatever you like. But, you know, you sit there at that table and they bring out the salad and you sit down. I mean, how many of you have ever sat down and ate the salad and then took the napkin and wiped your mouth and got up and left a tip on the table and said, that was a good meal? No, you know, there's something else back there in the kitchen that you're cooking up for you. And you know, there's a piece of prime beef back there that has your name on it. And you're just waiting for it. You're not going to leave. Well, as the church, I think the church is settled for the appetizer. The church is settling for the salad. And the Lord said, you just don't know. I've got a full course meal for you. And I'm just ready to deliver it to the church. I'm ready to deliver it to Bell County, Kentucky. I'm ready to deliver it to this region to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. That people are going to prophesy. And they're going to see dreams. They're going to have visions. We're going to see healings and deliverances. Miracles, signs and wonders. Oh, get ready, get ready, get ready. Oh, hallelujah. I told you I wasn't going to hype this message, but the Lord's hyping me. Okay. Let me slow down a little bit. God wants to do something powerful in this region. Not that God doesn't want to do things other places. I'm not saying that by no means. Or that he doesn't want to do things elsewhere. But you got to see something here. There are pockets as to where people are more ready for what God wants to do in this hour. And I want to tell you something. The state of Kentucky is one of those pockets. I said the state of Kentucky is one of those pockets. Amen? I'm telling you. God's getting ready to birth something. And I guess what I'm saying is we're earning when other places they're 6 or 7 months pregnant. Right here, I feel like we're full term. Yeah, this region's full term. We're ready. Some of you I know I've been talking to you. You're ready. We could break into revival at any minute. I said, we could break into revival at any minute. Amen. And I'm not just trying to make you feel good. Really, I'm not. I feel like I'm just bearing what the Lord has spoke to my spirit. And you know, I'm not trying to be a cheerleader. I don't want to be your cheerleader. I truly do believe this. I truly feel it. What I think the Lord wants to do is it's what I think, you know, it's what I'm trying to say, what I think He wants to do. Amen. All right, let's step it up. Let's step it up a notch. Here's some things I feel like the Lord wants us to hear. And I'll try to move quickly. Here's what I think the Lord's saying in the Spirit. I believe He is hovering over this region. He's been doing it for a while. And it's been seen in visions, the horses, angelic beings. God's just waiting. There's a brooding presence. Amen. And when that happens, Brandon, when the Spirit does that, it usually means God's getting ready to do something new. It's what happened in the creation. That's what the next thing in my notes. That's what He did in creation. He hovered, however you want to pronounce it. He hovered. And then you got to get this. Oh, God, help us get this. He hovered the Spirit, and then He created what Jesus declared. Oh, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And all things, everybody say all things. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made. So the Spirit of God hovered, and then He created what Jesus declared. So what are you saying? Oh, God, let us get this. Jesus came here, and He transferred that to us through the death, burial, and the resurrection. He ascended to the Father where He lives to make intercession for us, and now we are His body. So the Spirit is hovering, and God is going to create what we declare. If you declare negative things, if you declare down things, if you declare those things that bring people down. It's what's going to happen in your life. But you start speaking good things. You start, I'm going to spring forth. You're going to declare, and I'm going to spring forth. And y'all see that? It's time for us to speak it. Whatsoever you speak, that's what you're going to have. And I'm speaking revival for this region. I'm speaking blessings up on top of blessings. God's going to pour it out upon His people in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. The next one, I'm going to try to go quickly. The wind of the Spirit is blowing. Pneuma. The wind is blowing. The wind of the Spirit is blowing. And I don't know, if you can't sense this, and all I know is that you need to pray, you need to seek God because it's happening. It's happening. Amen. Hidden pockets of the glory of His presence are getting ready to be manifest. Amen. God is getting ready to manifest in unlikely places. I told you this is going to, a lot of this is going to be, it's going to sound prophetic. I just put down what the Spirit spoke to me. Hidden places, unlikely places, places you would not expect. Amen. You know, it's just like He did in the house of Cornelius. You know, Cornelius sends for Simon Peter. He sends for Simon Peter. Come, you know, he come. Y'all know the story. I'm just going to paraphrase. Peter goes up on the rooftop. He sees, you know, he has a vision of things what he considered unclean. God says, not in me. You know, don't call anything unclean. Amen. And what happens is the Holy Spirit fell on all of them, and even the Gentiles received. So things you wouldn't expect, places, things are going to happen you wouldn't expect to happen. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying, look out, because the drug dealer is going to get saved. Things you wouldn't expect. Amen. I've been proclaiming this for a long time. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. It's going to come to pass. It's going to come to fruition in the name of Jesus. Can somebody agree this morning? Amen. All right. He is about to manifest power with miracles. I'm not talking about things you've seen before. And listen, please don't be offended. I'm not trying to minimize anybody's healing. But I'm talking about significant stuff. Something we've never seen before. You know, how many's ready to document a miracle in the healing of autism? Oh, glory. Come on now. I'm talking about significant stuff and things we've not seen, things we haven't seen before. Signs and wonders. Amen. Signs and wonders. Extraordinary miracles. Somebody's ready for extraordinary miracles. You know what? I really believe that God wants to make this region one of the hubs, if you will. I think He wants to make for His to reveal His power and His miraculous power. And I'm not saying, listen, folks, it's not. Oh, don't listen to me. It's not confined to this area. I'll say that again. But this area is one of the regions. This region is one of the hubs that God's going to make to show His glory and to display His miraculous power. And there's going to be other places throughout the world. But I'm going to tell you something. And I'm way ahead of myself. But people are going to come from. They're going to come from every nation to this region and to receive and to get healing and to get miracles done in their lives for what God is doing. Amen. It's going to happen. God's going to do it in this area. Now, remember, it's not to build up our Father's house ministry. I'll say it right now as your pastor. If it is your desire to build a ministry, and if it's your desire just to build a bigger sanctuary and just to say, look at our Father's house ministries, you will miss it. I know that's in my notes, but we will miss it. It's about building up the kingdom of God and people seeing the kingdom of God grow in this area. It's time. You see, it's time for Satan's kingdom, Randy, to be tore down and for God's kingdom to be built up. And you are the kingdom builders. He's the king, and the king's got to have a kingdom, and you're the kingdom builders. You need to be history makers. Amen. Leave a legacy. If God tarries, leave a legacy to your children. This is what we done in our region. We didn't just exist on Sunday morning and do a little Sunday morning church service, but we saw the power of God. We became history changers, and they'll write books about this area. All right. Can we go on? I got to get you this message, folks. Extraordinary miracles. Amen. I'm talking about an explosion of power. Somebody say power. We need the power. You know, Juan and I were talking about 2 Timothy 3 the other night. You know, 2 Timothy 3, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Men will be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud. You go through that whole thing. She's laughing at me. She makes fun of me because I get started to quote a verse, and I try to get through it real quick. And she says, people can't even hear what you're saying. But basically it says, you know, in the last days, Ernest Brock, perilous times. Those of you that knew Ernest Brock will know, get that. He just had that. He had that long draw. You know. Perilous times are going to come. Men are going to be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, traitors, heady, high-minded. It goes on and on and on. And he ends up saying, lovers of pleasure more than lovers, or lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And here's the kicker: having a form. Everybody say form. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power. And we were talking about it just the other day, you know, and we're in agreement on this. You know, that was not spoken to the world. That was spoken to the church. That was a letter from Paul to Timothy. You got to understand, you know, people in the last days, and that's folks, don't point the finger at the world. Those kinds of things are in the church today. And we're denying the power of God. Amen. And listen, we know how to have church. You know, and please don't get mad at your pastor, but oftentimes, and I'm not throwing this at our worship team, but oftentimes in the churches today, instead of worship leaders, we got pep rally cheerleaders, amen. They get up and just cheer people on and get people to jump, get people to that, but they're not leading people in worship. They're not getting them into the depth of the Spirit, because that's where things happen. That's where the power takes over. It's time that we don't deny the power, but we release the power in the name of Jesus. We gotta have the power. Without the power of the Holy Spirit, we're not going to get anything done.
That's right. That's right.
Amen. So the modern church really knows how to have church. They know how to hide the people. You know, and oftentimes, again, our church services are more like pep rallies, but we have no victory. You know, how many's ever went to a pep rally, and you know, then you just get the dirt stomped out of you? That's the pep rally. Just a lot of physical activity with no results. I'm not trying to be mean. I watch it on TV. You know, you see it on TV, on Christian television. Oh, yeah, they can hype up the crowd. But where's the change? What's happening in your community? Where's the decrease in crime? Where's the decrease in drug addiction? Where's the decrease in homosexuality and abortion and all these things that have infiltrated our world and have infiltrated our church? Amen. You know, just a pep rally doesn't get anything done. We need the power. We need the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Because when the power shows up, amen, you know, and you know what I say, and I'm just going to go ahead and preach this. I know we're on television, but I'm just going to go ahead and preach it. You know, sure, I preach against homosexuality, but I'm going to tell you something. I love the homosexual, and we are supposed to love them through the Word of God, amen, through the Spirit of the Lord. We're supposed to love them, and I say, send them here. Let them come in the name of Jesus. We invite them to come because I want to see the power of the Holy Spirit transform their lives. Now, we can sing to them all day. We can talk to them all day and nothing's going to happen. But when the Spirit of the Lord shows up, they can be a transformation. I'm going to tell you something. You know what I was talking about? Suddenly, there can be a sudden transformation. But when they're delivered from that lie, from the pits of hell, and they're set free. How many believe in a sudden deliverance? Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. Preachers are tickling ears and enticing people with their eloquent words. But there's no preaching of the cross. And there's no deliverance from sin. Amen? All right, let me hurry. But I'm going to tell you something. I see people coming from all over the world to Pineville, Kentucky, to receive miracles. Amen? I'm going to say this. Daniel, come up and help me. I got to finish this. I'm not going to get through all of it. I had 5 pages of notes, and this is the 2nd page, so don't nobody panic. Oh, God, he's got 3 more. Resources are going to be discovered in this region. How's it going to happen, Pastor? Can I just go ahead and speak it and make proclamation? Something's gonna bring wealth to this area. Oh, that's a statement, ain't it? I'll just speak this right now. There's some wealthy people here and you don't know about it yet. I said there's some wealthy people here and you don't know about it yet. Oh, that gets your wheels turning, don't it? What am I sitting on? Wealth is coming. You say, how can you say that when one of our most abundant natural resources is being threatened? In coal. Listen, folks. God created coal. Amen? He created it all. Amen? And you see, here's the thing. That's, again, you got to understand. That's when God does His best work, when things are being threatened. Because, see, if there's a great need and a great need for the supply of these resources, things are going well, like they were a few years ago, as far as that particular, mineral, you know, but then all of a sudden it drops out and all these things are happening that's threatening that resource. That's when God can step in and say, let me show you how to do it when man can't do it. Amen. God created it. God said, let there be light. And I saw a shirt the other day. God said, let there be light. And He created coal. I like that. But you know, again, the enemy, listen folks, it's an all out attack. It's an all out attack. But see, God's getting ready to reveal Himself. Oh man. I'll tell you. So I'm just going to say that. Wealth is coming. But God's going to see, you know, but listen, you got to hear me though. It's not just so people can be wealthy. It's not just so people can be wealthy. But when God does something like that, It is to show that He is a God of covenant. According to Deuteronomy 8. He's proven that He's a God of covenant. In other words, He said, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you in the field. I'm going to bless you in the seed. I'm going to bless you on the right. I'm going to bless you on the left. So when He pours out that, it's not just so you can have more, but it's to show that He's a God of covenant and to build the kingdom more. God's going to give it to those that He can trust. He's not going to give it to somebody that's going to go to Las Vegas and blow it all. He's going to give it to somebody that's going to build up the kingdom. All right. All right. I gotta finish. Oh, hallelujah. New things. Everybody say new things. I'll tell you this story that I read about and then I'll try to close. Here. I wish I could finish this message, but I don't want to rush it. But here's the thing. You know, we get all excited about this. I'll just say this is part one. We get all excited, Brandon, about new things, don't we? We do. But part two of this message is, what's our place? What's our duty? You know, yeah. Well, I believe God wants to do new things, and I believe God wants to pour out His Spirit. But where do we come in? And I just go ahead and say it: it ain't coming without prayer. It ain't coming without the Word. And I'll just go ahead and say it, and really stress this: it sure ain't coming without unity. If we're not unified and on the same page, it's not coming. Amen. God's going to work in that. That's where He's going to command the blessing. Amen. It's got to revolve around those things. Amen. Let me tell you this real quick. Talking about prayer. Let me know God wanted to send rain when it was time to send rain. When it was a drought for 3.5 years. But God wanted to send rain, but Elijah had to pray, Ernie. See, they work together. God wants to do this, but He's waiting for His people to call on Him. He's waiting for His people to pray. Everybody say new things. Everyone wants to see some new things. Yes. Now, I want to give you this verse, and I want to try to finish here. Matthew 9:17, Jacob. And I believe, you know, and I believe this ties into what I spoke to. Remember a few weeks or months ago, I spoke on the river. And the Lord just brought that all back to me again. And I believe the Lord wants to unleash just a gushing river. I really believe that. And really what it is, it's a gushing river of new wine. Amen? But we got to leave some things behind. I said we got to leave some old things behind. We got to leave old hurts behind. We got to leave old feelings behind. Amen? We got to leave old sins behind. Come on. Put that verse up there, Jake. Matthew 9:17. Neither do men put wine, into old bottles. Else the bottles break. And the wine runs out and the bottles perish, but they put new wine in new bottles and both are preserved. God wants a new bottle to put wine in. Now, the story. I read a story about a woman from Florida. She had a 19, you probably know about this car. She had a 1964 Mercury Comet. Light yellow. She bought the car brand new in 1964 and gave $3,000 for it. At that particular time, gas was 29 cents a gallon. I'd like to see those days again. The woman is 93. She decides to sell the car. The car now has 567,000 miles on it. Yeah. Perfectly kept, clean, garage kept, perfect condition. They said she sold the car, I think, for $44,000. Here's the point. Now that, oh God, let us get this. When I read that, I thought, what an illustration. When she bought that car, for 567,000 miles, that car carried her where she needed to go. But now, the car is going to be put in a collector's museum, never to be driven anymore, just for shows. Okay? And it done its thing. Are you following me? Everybody with me? We need to understand that we need to expect new things from God. Here's what I hear the Lord say to my spirit. Some of us are riding around in a 1964 Mercury Comet. And not only that, we're expecting people to ride with us. Are you hearing me? You know, we expect the world to get on board with the church when we're so caught in a rut of last year's blessing or last year's... Listen, it's the same destination. All right, that fuel. Let me see if this helps you with the illustration. That fuel that cost 29 cents a gallon that today cost over $3. That's the same thing that used to move that car. You follow me? But, you know, it's the same way in the church. The prayer is what's going to move the car. Fasting's what's going to move the car. But it's going to cost you something. I'm trying to end this. There's going to have to be some schedules changed. I'll just go ahead and say this. Listen, you know, don't get used to a 25-minute worship service. You know, come to church, give me a 25-minute worship, and give me a 30-minute sermon, and I'm good to go. No. If that's your attitude, I'm just going to be plain as your pastor. If that's your attitude, revival's not going to come. You just got to get lost in worship. And it's going to take prayer, and it's going to take worship. And I'm talking about true worship to where you don't, where you're just surrendered totally to God, and it's not just a performance base that you're just wanting the worship team to entertain you, but you're here to worship God. That's going to usher in the Spirit of the Lord, that and prayer, and people serving, reading the Word, rather, and dedicating themselves to God is going to usher in this river. Change your schedule. All right, I'll quit. Man, and so much more. We'll finish this up. But amen. Let's stand together. Now, you know, my whole purpose, and there's other things I want to say to you, and I will at the right time, but my whole purpose for this message is really to challenge all of us to get on the same page. You know, lose this mentality of, well, this is all we're ever going to be, and this is all that's ever going to happen. in the body of Christ. You know, I want you to see the vision. Amen. How many is ready to see things you haven't seen before? All right. Amen. Can you come sing something? If you got to go, go. But what I want you to do is, I want us just to come together as one body. One body. Amen. Can I get all the spiritual leadership to come forward? Man, we need this just a show of unity. Come on, guys. Come on, guys. Daniel's with us, I know. He's always playing. Amen. Come on, Brandon. And yeah. There you go. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I want you to come into, you know, I want you to come into agreement. Make a point of contact, if you will, with someone next to you, everybody in the congregation. Amen. Make a point of contact. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Consummate this word in us, Lord. Consummate this word in our prayer unto you. God, we speak that we're going to see new things. We declare it. Come on, somebody declare it. Something you haven't seen before. Oh, believe God for something you haven't seen before. Some of you need to speak it right now. Some of you need to declare it. You need to proclaim. You need to prophesy it. You need to speak those things that are not as though they were. Oh, come on. Let's come into agreement. Unison right now. Forget about what you're going to do later. Come on, just right now. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Oh, we speak an outpouring. An outpouring. An outpouring of your Spirit, Lord. Come on, church. Come on, intercede. Come into agreement as one. Let's pray as one body. One vision, one goal. God, pour out upon your people. Pour out upon your people, Lord. Jesus. Jesus. Yay. Jesus. Yes, sing it. Send the river, Lord. Ooh, come on, church, pray. Send the river, Lord. Cry out to Him. Oh, send the Lord. Pour out upon your people. Oh, Jesus. Oh, we don't accept a negative report. Send the river, Lord. Challenge us, Lord. Oh, come on, church, press in. Press in. Press in. Press in. Others here, and you're saying, I have the vision. I know that the altar area is small, but if you're saying, Pastor, I have the vision, and I'm on board with the vision, would you come this morning? Let's stand in agreement. Come on, would you come this morning? Yes, if you're here and you have the vision, come. Come. You want to see the vision fulfilled. Just come and stand in here in unison, in agreement. Thank you. Thank you for coming. Come on. Come on. Come into agreement. Come into agreement.
There is a river.
Come on. You believe God wants to do something supernatural in this region. Young people, you can come too. You say, Pastor, I've caught the vision. I'm standing with you in the vision. Unison. I'm ready to see something new.
I will rejoice.
river of God flowing down, flowing down. There is a fountain full of grace.
Come on, sing to the Lord, worship Him.
And it flows from Emmanuel's veins, the blood of Jesus.